Well, did you bring your Bible with you tonight? I know we live in a day and an age where everyone has a personal copy of the written word of God, which, you know, not too long ago, maybe 300 years ago, these books were very precious and you would only see them in a church. But today we've got Bibles. And if you didn't bring one, the ushers are in the aisle right now. If you would like to borrow a Bible, we sure would be happy to give you. The strawberry flavor is Samoan, and the vanilla, I believe, is English. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You can turn it in at the end. God's word is so good, but we understand God has set gifts in the earth to teach his word, to preach his word. And what is a gift in the earth? Well, there's apostles and there's prophets, there's evangelists, there's teachers, and there's pastors. And I believe tonight the teaching gift will be in manifestation. What's the teaching gift? Why would I want to sit under a teacher? Well, a teacher, if you believe in the anointing, the power of God, sitting under a teacher talking for about 45 minutes will help you learn more than you probably could all by yourself in a year's worth of time. Save you a lot of time, save you a lot of struggling to know what the word of God is. I know when Philip approached the Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading the Bible. But the Lord said, join yourself to that chariot. And Philip said, do you know what you're reading? He said, I've got the book. He's reading from Isaiah. You know, I've got this book, but how can I know what it means unless I have a teacher? So we praise God for teachers. And the wonderful thing about teachers is they'll take you no matter where you are, what level you are. Maybe you're a black belt in Christianity tonight. Maybe you're a white belt. Maybe you're a no belt and you're going to get saved tonight. A teacher can take someone wherever they are, and a teacher will bring them up to where we are. Not keep you stupid so we always are just a little bit smarter, but bring people up to the same level. Thank you, Lord. And our best teacher and our best example is Jesus Christ, who brought Peter up, who brought James and John up. Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Well, we've been talking in these sessions about more than conquering, and I'm excited about more than conquering. Are you? We said last week, get used to winning. And everyone's like, yay. Because we're used to losing. I don't want to be used to losing. I want to get used to winning. And I noticed everyone in the Old Testament and even on into the New Testament, if they got in contact with God, they heard their victory instructions, they did what God told them to do, they won every time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Well, let's go to the Word. If you've got your Bible with you, I want to start with, I'm calling it a six-pack of verses. Six-pack. A six-pack of verses that really shows us how people won in the Bible, how they won their battles. There's a pattern for the victories that they received in their lives. And Ephesians 1:17 is a prayer from Paul for all of us, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I'll just say that again. May give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It sounds like God wants us to know things. It sounds like God doesn't want us to be ignorant. It sounds like God wants us to know him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Well, we've looked at the things that Jesus has said about the Holy Spirit and the Comforter. The Comforter will guide you into all truth. He will take of mine and show it to you. That word comforter has seven meanings. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's a teacher. Now I'll stop right there. What good is a counselor that never says one thing to you? I'm here for help. I need some advice. What good is a comforter or a counselor or a teacher that you can never hear ever in your life? Or an advocate, a lawyer, a helper, a standby, a strengthener? The Holy Spirit is all those things on the inside of a born-again Christian right now. You have access to a comforter, a counselor, a teacher, a standby, an advocate, an intercessor, a strengthener, a helper. But what good is all that if you can never access it? Well, the word says we have access by one Spirit unto God the Father. Paul said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I like what the Weiss translation says. As many as are constantly being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God and daughters. Verse 16 says, His Spirit is constantly bearing witness with our spirit, or bearing joint testimony with our human spirits, that we are the sons of God. John said, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Peter talked about the hidden man of the heart. Paul said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. God wants to know you. God wants to talk to you. And I believe He is talking to you. We have all these verses, the Word of God, that show us the way God will communicate to us. And it's His Spirit speaking to your spirit. No one ever told me that until later on in my life. And I spent quite a bit of time trying to have a physical relationship with God, who is Spirit. Or an intellectual relationship with God, who is Spirit. I never really was trained to just look inside, listen inside, watch inside. His Spirit will bear witness or speak to your spirit. And, you know, we've been talking so much about this because the pattern for victory in the Old Testament and the New Testament was God told them, they prayed, God told them how to win His Spirit to their spirit on the inside. They heard it on the inside. They believed it. They did it. And that caused them to win amazing battles. So if they won their battles by hearing God speak to their spirit more than conquering, then it would be true for us today. God wants you to win. Some years ago, the Lord said, Patty, teach my people to know me. Teach my people to believe in me. Because there's battles that they could be winning, but they're losing because they're not able to hear me give them their victory instructions, if you will. 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Yeah, what does that mean? I've read this verse so many times. Goes on to say, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Still don't really know what that means, even though it's a very famous verse. Well, remember when Moses was backed up to the Red Sea and he said, oh God, help us. He had a 911 emergency prayer in one of the darkest days of his life. And the Lord said nothing, nothing at all. No, the Lord said, why are you crying to me? Hold your rod out over the water. And guess what? Moses was the only one who heard that. God's Spirit spoke that to his spirit. He heard it. He knew it was God. He believed it. So within seconds, he holds his rod out over the water. And the Lord begins to part the Red Sea. Now, if we were a reporter and we came to Moses today and says, Moses, how did you know to hold your rod out over the Red Sea? How did you know to stick the wooden stick over the water and that would work. Well, I got a born of God answer when I prayed. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Moses got a born of God victory instruction, not just for himself, but for the whole nation, over 3 million people. And he believed it, he did it, and it caused the whole Egyptian army to be defeated without one sword being drawn, and all of Israel to be saved. If Moses received born of God, not born of his brain, not born of Aaron, his brother, not born of the crowd, not born of a superior intellect, but God's spirit speaking to his spirit, and that's how he won, then I would like to learn to operate at this level as well. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Good news, in our dispensation, in our day and age, we have access to God by his spirit. Zechariah 4 and 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Another very famous scripture, but a lot of times people, yeah, by his spirit. His spirit's just going to do everything, and we're just going to stand around, and it'll be a spiritual thing. And no, not by my physical power, not by my strength or my intellect, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What do you mean by your spirit? Well, by his spirit showing you how to win. And you being spiritually developed enough to hear God when he speaks to you. And then what? Believe it. And then act on it by faith. And then God causes what he just said to you on the inside to manifest in the physical realm. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What do you mean by my? By his spirit showing you what to do. You believing it and the answer coming. I was listening to Bill Johnson, who has a church in California. He was at Brother Copeland's meeting. And he gave a testimony of how their second son had just had a child. The wife had a child. And the child was rushed to the emergency ICU. And the family was there in the waiting room. And this is a very serious situation. They don't know. It's life or death. It's 911. And, you know, at this point, you can just start trying stuff. You can do a Jericho march in the waiting room of the hospital. You can start screaming and yelling, in the name, in the name. Right? But he gave the testimony that as they were going to approach the Lord in prayer, his wife just kind of stepped back into a corner of the waiting room and said, Father, what are we doing here? How do we pray? How do we win this? Instead of just launching out and trying stuff, no, she went right to the source of the answer, and right even to how do we pray. A lot of people will just start swinging, and it'll be spiritual. Quote scripture, and we do quote scripture, and we do believe scripture, and we do understand that the general promise of healing, they know that. By his stripes we are healed. There's a general promise. We have that. We know that. But now I need specific direction regarding the general promise that's in the word that we are standing on, the written word and then the living word working together. So she stepped back into the corner and said, Lord, Father, what are we doing? Because whatever you're doing, that's what I'm going to do. And just in those moments, she received really something to decree over the situation from the Lord on the inside. God's spirit spoke to her spirit and said, decree this, command this over the situation. And she stepped forward, she made the decree, and it turned immediately. See, we just don't want to be busy, busy, busy. Paul said we can box as one that beats the air. And it can feel spiritual. I mean, Moses could have tried all different things. But he went straight to the source. He went straight to the one who knows how to win this. And more than win this, he didn't connect with his body and fear. He didn't connect with his mind and his intellect and all his past experiences. He, you know, I will say this too. Moses didn't have one of these like we do. But you know what he did have as his back was to the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army is coming? He had an experience with God where God said to him in the desert, appeared to him in the burning bush, and the Lord said to him, Moses, I've heard my children's cries in Egypt, and I am come down to deliver them. That was a general plan. That was a very general statement that God made to him. But along the way, there were some specific things that God had to say to Moses to focus. What do I do now? I know that you have come down to deliver them. But I just went into Pharaoh and he said, no. What do I do now? Well, hold your rod out over the water. Command it to turn into blood. Okay, I went in a second time and he said, no. What is he standing on? I have come down to deliver them. That's a general plan that God shared with him. It would be like us standing on, by his stripes, I am healed. Okay, Lord, I know that. But any specifics that could fine-tune my faith for this that I can step out on? Any specifics, Lord? What would you like me to do? Do you want me to call the pastor? Do you want me to go to the doctor? Goes the third time. No. Frogs. I think it was frogs. Goes the fourth time. No. Goes the fifth time. No. Goes the sixth time. No. Goes the seventh time. No, no, no. Down to the tenth time where he's gone to Pharaoh and Pharaoh has said no. But he's got the general plan of God. He was told, I have heard my children's cries in Egypt and I am come down to deliver them. There was so much specific direction connected to the general promise that God made for him. And that to him, and that's the same at the Red Sea. He's standing there. He knows this is not how it's going to end. Why? Because I am come down to deliver them. He knows this is not how it's going to end. Lord, help me. What do I do? Hold your rod out over the water. That's a born of God answer. That's not by power. That's not by might. That's by my spirit showing you exactly what to do to get your victory. So this woman went into the shadows and what she connected with the Spirit of God. She looked inside. Pastor Junior has been talking about in Proverbs, is it 27? 2027. That the spirit of a man is the lamp of Adonai, or the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of his spirit, of his inner man. If God's going to show you something, it will be inside your human spirit. Also, in that same chapter, it says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. Not shallow water, but deep water. And a human being who understands how to have a relationship with God, the comforter, the counselor, you're going to have to understand that God will answer you inside your spirit. And you have to draw that up. You have to focus on your spirit. You have to connect to your spirit. You have to be aware of your spirit. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. I like this in the GLT. It says, but thanks be to God, he's always leading us in triumph. That's different than just he makes it happen. We just stand there. What if Moses decided, I'm not going to hold my rod out over the Red Sea? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, a lot of times what God tells you to do doesn't make sense. March around the city and shout. That's the stupidest battle plan I have ever heard in my entire life. But it worked. It wasn't by power. It wasn't by might. But it was by the Spirit. What do you mean by the Spirit? By God's Spirit showing your spirit how to win. You hearing that. You believing that. And you stepping out on that. And when you step out on it, you do what God says to do, that gives him the legal right to cause it to manifest in the physical realm on the earth. So last week, I spent quite a bit of time reviewing, and I get tempted to teach everything we taught from the beginning of the year, and it just doesn't work. Can we just try to launch forward tonight? I want to get to speaking in other tongues. Now, if you don't speak in other tongues, I don't want you to be afraid. Did you know it's scriptural? Did you know that Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem without it? Don't go out and start preaching without this second working of the Holy Spirit? The first working of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit within the man for salvation. That's really a benefit package for you. That's the comforter, the counselor, the teacher, the advocate, the standby. That when you get your recreated human spirit and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of your spirit, praise God. The Holy Spirit within for salvation and communication, the Holy Spirit upon the believer for power to be a witness. And one of the signs is speaking in other tongues. And I'd like to get to the place where we really see clearer the role of tongues in helping us hear God more clearly, in helping us draw the counsel up that's on the inside of us. But I want to do that spirit, soul, and body illustration again. Can I use you? You can be the body. I'm going to be the mind tonight. And you can be the spirit, okay? Can you guys come up, stand on either side of the pulpit? Let's see what we got under here. I think we've got our props. This is going to be me. This is going to be you. Pulupopo. There's just a little sliver. Fasi popo. And this is me, ipu popo. We're using this as an example. You're a spirit, and you have a mind, but you live in a body. And it's just like a coconut, and we've cut a coconut in half just so that you can see. If you want the coconut cream, are you going to scrape the pulupopo? Yeah. If you want the coconut cream, are you going to scrape the ipupopo? Leay. If you want the coconut cream, you're going to scrape the fasipopo. See, it's the spirit of a man that produces the revelation of God, the instructions from God. But so many times, you know, I talked to someone who heard the message last week, and we did this, and they said, I'm so glad you did it in Psalm 1 because I understood it a little bit more. But he says, I am so pulu. I am so pulu popo. And really, we are all kind of set on that. Romans says that if we're carnally minded or flesh minded, and we just look at the flesh, then that's all we'll think about. That if that's all we touch, if that's all we contact, if that's all we're aware of, then it will be like we don't even have a spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spirit minded is life and peace. So we made this illustration last week that so many people, even though they're born again, they never really connect with their fasipopo to get the coconut cream of God. The product of your human spirit is direction. Born of God answers. There's other fruits as well. But if you scrape this today and then any coconut cream? If I scrape this? And this is the perfect example of this is like your mind. It's almost the same shape, and it's really almost the same. Are you going to scrape this to get the coconut cream? No. I'm going to scrape this, the fasipopo, and then I'm going to squeeze it, the taule penu, and then pe'epe'e, is it called? The coconut cream. And it's the same way with your spirit. So many times we're looking for physical or mental, but we said this, it's not there. The coconut cream is not here. The coconut cream is not here. The coconut cream is here. Answers from God, it's not here. It's not in your body. It's not in your mind. It's in your spirit. God's spirit will speak to your spirit. So Romans 8 makes this interesting analogy that a mind that's set on the things of the flesh is carnally minded. And you're not going to advance. You're not going to be spiritual. Why? Because you're always looking at your flesh. And, you know, if you're just connected to your flesh, what are you going to think about? I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm hot. Are you hot? Always thinking about physical stuff, all kinds of physical stuff. I want a beer. I want to get drunk. I want to do other fun stuff. Always thinking about that, carnally minded. I like what Galatians 5 says. It says, walk in the spirit, and you will not indulge the cravings of your lower nature. So what Paul is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, is instead of looking this way all the time, your mind needs to look this way, because the answer is here. Connect with your spirit. Become more aware of your spirit. Be at a place where you're always looking inside instead of looking outside. And you'll begin to see that, oh, God is talking to me. God is showing me things. But you can look this way your whole life and have counsel here. The answer was here. Remember last week we talked about Joshua, who was tricked by the guys that dressed up in old clothes. And he decided to make a covenant with them. And it says he asked not the counsel of the Lord. Even though counsel is here, if you just keep looking this way, it'll be like, never see it. But if you turn, if you set your mind, your affection on things that aren't seen, not the physical, but the spirit, then you'll begin to be more comfortable with God speaking to you from that place. Thank you so much, guys. Pulu popo, basi popo, ibu popo. Thank you, Lord. I hope that helps you. Looking the wrong way. If something, answers were from the physical realm, we would have them. If answers were from my intellect, we would have them. But counsel from God, It's in the heart. It's in your spirit. And if this is true, I need to know where my spirit is, what my spirit is, and I need to connect with that. So this is the verse, Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit do mind the things of the spirit. Notice how it talks about your mind. You can mind the flesh, or you can mind the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Oh, I don't want that. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want to read this from two different translations. The MNT says, for they who live after the flesh give their attention to the things of the flesh. I'm hot, I'm tired, I'm thirsty. What are we doing? I'm bored, I'm lonely. Always based on your physical body, your physical senses. For they who lived after the flesh give their attention to the things of the flesh, but they who live after the spirit give their attention to spiritual things. The Phillips translation says, the carnal man sees no further than carnal or physical things, but the spiritual man is concerned with the things of the spirit. So this woman, they get an evil report. The baby is in ICU. What'd she do? She went over into the corner. She looked inside. Father, what are we doing here? Because whatever you say to do, that's what I'm going to do. He gave her the answer. He gave her a statement of faith to decree, believing in her heart, saying with her mouth. She came back over to the group. She made the decree, and the thing turned right away. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us about it. Thank you, Lord. I want to talk again about the Spirit talking to us. And I made this little analogy 2 weeks ago, but I believe it bears repeating. Now, most people, if they know I'm a missionary, they'll say, how did you know that you were called to be a missionary? And I don't want to tell them, because they're going to think I'm crazy. People that don't understand spiritual things don't like it when you say, God told me to come to Samoa. And they'll go, ha, ha. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that to a person that's not born again or an intellectual person. They don't understand when a Christian says, God showed me something. I saw it in my heart. To them, that's total foolishness, because these things are spiritually discerned. How did you know you were called to go to Samoa? Well, I drew counsel up and out of my human spirit. I discerned it. I saw it on the inside. Foolishness to the carnal mind. It would be like asking Moses, Moses, how did you know to hold your rod out over the water? Joshua, how did you know to march around the city? David, how did you know to chase after the people and recover all? Jesus, how did you know there would be gold coins in the first fish's mouth? Jesus, how did you know there would be a man with a pitcher of water walking through town at the gate exactly when the disciples entered? How did you know, Jesus, there would be a young colt, a young donkey tied up that no one ever rode on? How would you know that? How did you know that there would be a little donkey there? And then how did you know if they ask, why are you taking the donkey? Tell them that the Lord has need of it? How did you know the donkey would be there? How did you know that they would ask, hey, what are you doing with my donkey? How did you know that? How did you know what the Pharisees were thinking? How did you know Lazarus was already dead? How did you know the woman had five husbands and the guy she's with now is not? How did you know? It would be like asking Jesus that. How did you know? Well, we all know the answer to that. He said, I see. My Father shows me things. I say what I hear, and I do what I see. John chapter 5, verse 19. It would be like asking Peter, how did you know to go with the three men that knocked on your door to Cornelius's house? How did you know that Ananias and Sapphira were lying? Come on. How did you know? Where did you get that information from? Was it just a 50-50 guess? No, the Spirit of the Lord told him. Philip, how did you know to go down to the southern road towards the desert? How did you know to join yourself to the chariot? It would be like asking these men, how did you know? Ananias, how did you know to go into the street called Straight and inquire at one named Judas's house? How did you know that? I don't understand how you knew that. God's Spirit spoke to their spirit. These things were spiritually discerned. Paul, how did you know not to go up into Bithynia? How did you know to go down into Macedonia? How did you know that no one would die in this horrible storm at sea? How did you know that the ship would be lost, but no one else? The cargo would be lost, the ship would be lost, but no man's life would be lost. There stood by me this night an angel of the Lord. And he told me, I saw it. I want to talk again and show you the level that people were looking inside and seeing inside. Remember a man by the name of John, best friend of Jesus, brother of James, fisherman. We could ask John, if I met John, I'd say, man, how did you know how to write Revelations? Those some heavy words, dude. Those are that, I mean, you can't make that stuff up. How did you know how to write all that down? Well, he tells us, Revelations 1 and verse 10. I was aware of my spirit. I was in the spirit. I was connected to the Fasipopo. I was looking inside on the Lord's day. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Notice he didn't say, I was fleshing out on the Lord's day. I was totally carnal. I was disconnected from spiritual things. No, I was in the spirit. I was paying attention to my spirit. I was looking inside. I was fellowshipping with the Lord inside on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet. Did anyone else hear this voice? If you were sitting next to John, maybe he was in church or something. Would the person next to him be hearing this voice? No, because he heard it on the inside. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. I want to read this from the expanded translation. John explains exactly what happened, and this is how I wrote the book of Revelation. On the Lord's day, I was in the spirit. A state of deep spiritual communication with God, and I heard a loud voice behind me that sounded like a trumpet, and the voice said, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches. The Phillips translation says, on the Lord's day, I knew myself inspired by the Spirit. I knew myself inspired by the Spirit. I connected my mind to my spirit. I was looking inside. And I heard from behind me a voice loud as a trumpet saying, write down in a book what you see. John, how did you know how to? We all know how he knew how to write it down. And the same way Moses knew how to hold out his rod, the same way Joshua knew how to march around the city, the same way David knew how to go up at once, overtake, recover all the things that Jesus knew from his spirit, Peter, Paul, Philip, Stephen, how did you know how to preach that message from Genesis to today. How did you get, where did you get that message from, Stephen? John, how did you know how to write Revelations? The answer is all the same. God's Spirit spoke to their spirit. And this needs to become, we're talking about this new normal with COVID. This is not the new normal with the seats apart like this. But we do want to have a new normal when it comes to being spiritual. The new normal is I look in all the time. We did this exercise 2 weeks ago, and I said, just look inside. Everybody, look inside. And everybody was somehow able to do that. Do that right now. Look inside. The ipupopo is going to look at the fasipopo. Your mind is going to look at your spirit. Focus inside. The new normal is you never looking away now, never disconnecting. Abide in me, and I in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you're not connected to the vine, you don't bear any fruit. Did you know that hearing from God is a fruit of your spirit? Just basic direction, knowing what to do. A fruit of the Holy Spirit is getting an answer to your prayer on the inside. And I want you to get great at receiving your victory instructions from God for yourself. But really, even here at Rhema, we're not just trying to get you to the place where you can use your relationship with God for yourself, even though you will. But we want to get you to the place where God is able to talk to you on the inside about other people. See that man over there? He's got faith to be healed. Command him to stand up. The impotent man at Lystra, Paul, seeing that he had faith to be healed. How do you see someone has faith to be healed? He saw it on the inside and said, stand up right on your feet. Paul, how did you know to tell that guy to stand up? I saw it on the inside. I was paying attention to my spirit and God's spirit. I was looking inside. I was aware of the dimension of the spirit. I was not just connected to the carnal or the physical. I was connected to my spirit. And I saw and I heard. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. And I believe we can move forward a bit with this, specifically concerning, okay, counsel from the Lord is on the inside of my spirit, but how do I draw it up? What can I do to specifically know answers or hear from him at a higher level? And I believe we've been given a key, something that really helps us spiritually, to see and hear God at a greater level. And that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So we understand if counsel's on the inside, it's there. But how come I still don't know? Because you have to draw it up. It's like deep water. So my responsibility is to draw answers up from out of my own human spirit. Well, how do I do that? Let's look at tongues for just a minute. Now, I know in this room, some of you don't speak in tongues at all, and that's all right, and there's no pressure. You'll just learn a little bit. Maybe you think, I don't even know what tongues is for. Well, tonight, just by hearing this for about 10 minutes, you'll understand, okay. And then you can decide if you want it or not. For me, it was like Brother Dunnick said, it's like never having ice cream in your whole life. And I can tell you about the ice cream cone, but the best thing would be to just give you an ice cream cone. But speaking in other tongues, I've decided, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at about 18 years old. I've decided that with speaking in tongues is so much better than without. With ice cream is way better than without ice cream. 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says, "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." That's good King James. Let's read a couple different translations. And this is where I'm trying to get you to, especially those of you that have spoken in tongues for quite a while now. There's a deeper experience with tongues that we haven't been taking advantage of. Most people will pray in their own personal prayer language. Everyone that speaks in tongues, you know what your personal prayer language is. When you go to speak in tongues, it sounds the same all the time. And really, that's to build you up, to fill you up, to strengthen you. Jude said, praying in the Holy Spirit, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Spirit is you building yourself up, filling yourself up, strengthening yourself. And really, it can be mindless. Doing the dishes, watching TV, doing this, typing a letter, reading, working out. That's one level of tongues. It will strengthen your spirit. It will exercise your spirit. Do you understand there's a difference between feeding your spirit and exercising your spirit? Do you know about your bodies? There's a difference between feeding your body, just eating, and exercising your body, right? There's a difference between being running on a treadmill and sitting at a table and eating. Praying in the Holy Spirit is like being on the treadmill, where you're not just feeding your spirit, you're actually using your spirit. You're exercising your spirit. You become more aware of your spirit. And one of the good things about praying in your own personal prayer language is that you become more aware, you become more focused on that hidden man of the heart. So Paul said this, "I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all." Let me read this same verse from the Very Smart People translation. "For the one who is uttering words in a tongue, a language not understood except through an interpreter, is not speaking to men but to God, for no one hears him so as to understand what he is saying, and he utters with his human spirit as energized by the Holy Spirit, divine revelations not explained." Now, King James called them mysteries. Uttering, you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking divine revelations not yet explained or not explained. The BBE says, "For he who makes use of tongues is not talking to men, but to God, because no one has the sense of what he is saying, but in the spirit he is talking of secret things." Secret things. Now I want you, if you've been coming for quite a while, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God's spirit reveals things to our spirit, even hidden things, secret things, things that we don't know, divine mysteries. I just want you to keep in mind that God is a revealer of secret things. God is a revealer of mysteries. God is really good at telling us things that we don't know or we don't understand. Jesus said, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Is a candle brought to be put under a couch or a bed?" No, God is the candle. He didn't come down to not be seen, to not be understood, to not communicate. "I saved you, but now I'm not talking to you ever, ever again." Let's keep going. Young's Literal Translation. "For he who is speaking in an unknown tongue to men doth not speak, but to God, for no one doth hearken, and in the spirit he doth speak secrets. Weymouth, for he who speaks in an unknown tongue is not speaking to men, but to God, for no one understands him, yet in the spirit he is speaking secret truths. You guys okay with all these repetitions? We're going somewhere with this. The TCNT says, he who, when speaking, uses the gift of tongues is speaking not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, yet in spirit he is speaking of hidden truths. Hidden truths. Phillips, this is our final one. The man who speaks in a tongue addresses not men, for no one understands a word he is saying, but God, and only in his spirit is he speaking spiritual secrets. So one of the things that's happening when I'm praying in another tongue, I'm speaking a language, and you need to know that for sure. You are speaking a language. It's not just what we call mumbo jumbo. It's not baby talk. No, it's a language. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about, though I speak with tongues of men or of angels, you could be speaking an earthly language that someone might understand if they know that language. Or you could be speaking a heavenly language that nobody on earth knows. The point is, you are speaking a language, and you're not speaking to men. You're speaking directly to God. Your spirit is running on a treadmill. Your spirit is operating. Your spirit is exercising. Do you really think that God gave us this wonderful gift, and we're praying out mysteries, we're praying out secrets, we're praying out hidden truths. Do you really think that God gave us this vehicle, this spiritual vehicle, this spiritual exercise of praying in other tongues, so that after we do it, we still don't know what to do? And we still have no idea what we just prayed about. And we still don't have any counsel. And we still don't have any answers. There is a way of praying in the Holy Spirit where you can specifically ask God a specific question about something you don't understand. So many times when we go to the Lord, it's because we don't know what to do. We don't have the counsel. We don't have the wisdom. And all this is in line with, we look to our spirits to draw up counsel. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're exercising our spirit. We're speaking to God directly. His spirit is giving our spirit the perfect prayer to pray out. And what we're praying is actually secrets, mysteries, things that we don't see. Do you think just the whole concept of praying out a mystery? What do you mean praying out a mystery? Well, it's not supposed to stay a mystery. Now, when you're praying, and I'm just talking, there's different ways of praying in other tongues. When I speak in my prayer language, my basic prayer language, and I just rattle along as I get ready, and I just rattle along as I do my dishes, and it's that familiar tongues that it always sounds the same. And this is for people that operate in this spiritually. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't know what I'm talking about right now. But I hope you're gleaning some information. Everybody that speaks in tongues, you know what I mean? Your prayer language, mindless, blah, 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 blah. Well, that is doing, it's filling you. It's strengthening you. It's sharpening you so that you're more aware of spiritual things. But so many times, my mind is unfruitful, as the word says. But praying out a mystery, speaking mysteries, speaking secret truths, why are we speaking them? Why has God given us this exercise if we go and pray in tongues for an hour and we still don't know what to do? We go and pray in tongues for 2 hours and I still don't have an answer. We go and pray in tongues for 3 days and decide to fast and pray, and it's still a mystery to me. I still don't understand the next step. Well, praying in other tongues specifically for a specific answer. I taught, and we did this in third year this week. There is a way of praying in tongues for specific counsel. It's not your average everyday tongues where you just rattle along, but where you say, Lord, I really need to know if I'm supposed to buy this building or if it's another building in town. I really need to know. I need specific direction because it's a mystery to me right now. It's like a secret. I don't know. And you can point your prayer in a direction, specific direction. Now, this is how we draw counsel up specifically out of our hearts to our understanding. This is a means of spiritually illuminating ourselves so that we see, and then, of course, we understand. That was one of the things with this building for several years. I was not sure if this was the building to buy. I drove around town looking at buildings. Is this the building? And I'd look in my heart, and I'd not see anything, not understand anything. Is this the building? And is this the building? Is this the building? Is this the building? Is this the building? And finally, I set apart some time. I said, Lord, I really need to know. And I said, I'm believing you, Lord, right now for utterance, for tongues, for a prayer that it's not my normal prayer language. I'm believing to step over into praying out this mystery specifically in a tongue that I don't know, to pull up the answer, to draw up the specific answer. It's a mystery to me, but I need to pray this mystery out so that it's not a mystery anymore, so that I know this is it. And so we actually did this in third year, just, I guess it was last week. We stood up. And I said, each and every one of you probably has something in your life where you need an answer and you don't know what to do. But there's another level of speaking in other tongues where you can specify, you can pinpoint to God, I need to know what to do about this. And Father, I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit will give me utterance. It's not my regular prayer language. It's stepping into a whole nother stream to bring up revelation, to bring up divine impartations, so that I will know in my spirit the direction to go. Why don't you guys stand up with me? If you do speak in other tongues, praise and worship team, you can come. If you do speak in other tongues, go ahead and start in your normal prayer language. And I know this is a little bit, we don't usually do this in service, but we came to learn spiritual things, right? Well, I'm praying in other tongues, Pastor, and I just rattle along, but I never get an answer. Well, you're praying in your prayer language, and that builds you up. That sharpens you. But there's another avenue. There's different streams that you can go down. But you need to be specific. Lord, I'm believing you to know what the next step is in terms of the purchase of some land for the ministry. And by faith, I'm going to pray that out. What do you mean, pray that out? I'm going to pray until I know the answer. The answer is revealed to me. Secrets are not a secret anymore. Mysteries are not a mystery anymore. Praying in tongues is not so you stay stupid and still don't know what to do. Praying in tongues is a means to spiritual illumination so that you do know what to do. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and start to speak in other tongues. Just your regular, basic, everyday, whenever you pray in tongues, it always sounds the same. Go ahead. If you don't pray in tongues, just observe. Kind of mindless, right? Some people have ugly tongues. Some people have pretty prayer languages. Some people have tongues that sound like French. Oh, that's nice. Some people have tongues that sound like German. That's not so nice. Sorry, Germany. You're exercising. You're running on a treadmill. You're building yourself up. You're filling yourself up with the Spirit of God. I'm more aware of the Spirit. But I need a specific answer. So I want all of you right now to pinpoint something. Pick something in your life that you need specific direction. You need specific direction. I'm going to ask for direction about a piece of land. Okay? And just, here's the pattern of how it works. You're going to speak in other tongues, but you're going to believe God for different utterance than your normal everyday prayer language. You're going to step into a channel, you're going to step into a language that's not your basic everyday, but you're going to believe God for specific tongues to bring this answer up and it be revealed to you. I will comfort you by saying this. Brother Hagin said that all the leadings that he ever received, all the answers that he ever received, came up and out of his human spirit after times of praying specifically in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a mystery anymore. We're not supposed to just be praying in other tongues mindlessly. We can go deeper into another stream to get a specific answer. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. And a person who understands how spiritual things work will draw it up. Tongues will draw up an answer from your spirit, from the Spirit of God to your spirit. So does everyone have something to pray about? And this is demonstration tonight. We've never really done this before. But I'm praying about buying a certain piece of land, and I need to know if that's a definite yes. So this is how it goes. Father, I'm specifically praying right now, and I'm focusing this prayer. I'm focusing this prayer on a certain piece of land. And while I'm praying, I'm going to set my mind to look at my spirit. It's not going to be mindless praying in the whole. I'm going to pay attention to my spirit to look for the answer as it comes up. I'm more focused. And Father, right now, I believe you give me the utterance to pray this out. Now, you guys do that. In your hearts, you can say it, whisper it if you want. and then believe God for a totally different utterance for this. Father, I thank you for utterance to pray out the answer, that it's not a mystery anymore, that your spirit will pray through my spirit so that my spirit receives enlightenment, illumination, that it won't just be a tongue that I don't know, that it'll draw up to my understanding the answer. Chromasokro, step out and speak in tongues, a specific tongue for this prayer. Chromokore e maso, it's a language, pronounce it. Chromakore e peki prai, oredere sikre prai. Kaimo o masomba apairede. Nakrokoi akatropa kocho sopre prai. Okay, while you're doing this, don't let your mind be mindless here. We just talked about to be carnally minded or to be spirit minded. When you're praying in the spirit for a specific answer, keep your mind focused on your heart so that you can see and understand the answer when your spirit reveals it. Keep your mind focused on your spirit when you're praying at this level. Don't be mindless like you are when you just rattle along in your own tongues. Your mind is watching for the answer. Your mind is connected to your spirit. You guys okay? This is how we draw up answers to win. So keep going. Go ahead. Go two more minutes. Chroma akama krobe sefrebre. It's not your everyday tongue. If you're speaking in your everyday tongue, stop and believe God for utterance specific to the thing that you're asking. This is a little bit harder, isn't it? This is a little bit harder than just average everyday tongues where it's just building you up, building you up, building you up, building you up. That's great, do that. But this isn't that kind. We're drawing up counsel. We're focusing, we're concentrating, we're looking inside for a specific answer. And this is how you draw it up. This tongue that he's giving you, you're praying out the mystery. So what? So it's not a mystery anymore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Groma sufre prea, camera amas kire rafailo loyarabaso. Giamarabasu cre prei, ialabasu cre frei, tamala le prei ki prai. Roma sucreva caccio sombre frame. Thank you, Lord. You can stop. Because this lesson tonight is just to make you aware that there's another stream of tongues available to you. That isn't just, yeah, when I pray in tongues, I have no idea what I'm doing, and no, you know, it's just a mindless exercise. No, there is a level of tongues that pulls up counsel out of your spirit so that you know, so that you have light to walk by. And I know we've just done this in 45 minutes. We're done for tonight. We're going to see if the Holy Spirit wants to move any other way. But take this with you. If you've got questions for your personal life, be specific. Believe God for a specific tongue that will draw up the counsel that's already there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praying in tongues is not an exercise that keeps you in the dark. Many believers think it produces nothing. Tongues is the process to spiritual illumination that progressively reveals the thing that you don't know, the answer that you need it progressively reveals, rises up, so that you can understand it. Thank you, Lord. It's a means of drawing up what you don't know, what you don't see right now. It's drawing up counsel so that you do know what to do now. There's sharpening tongues. That's your basic prayer language. But then there's revealing tongues. Tongues that will bring up specific answers in your heart so that you have light to walk by. Thank you, Lord. This is one way that we can draw up the counsel of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit of God helping you see, helping you pray in a language that you might not understand mentally, but it is a valid language being spoken. These words will not return void. They are being spoken to you by the intermediate agency of the Holy Spirit so that you might know, so that you might have answers. Thank you, Lord. He even helps us draw up the answers that are already there. Jesus said, "It is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Thank you, Lord. Draw it up. Why don't we just begin to play? I've got it in my heart. I'm going to sing, "I Want to Know You, Lord." I want to know you, Lord. Deeper and deeper. And higher and higher. And I want to walk with you longer and longer, stronger and stronger. We want to know you, Lord. Deeper and deeper, and higher and higher, and we want to walk with you longer and longer, stronger and stronger. I have always been there for you. I have always been by your side. I will lead you to more. I will show you the way. I have always been there for you. Thank you, Father. You can trust me. You can know me more. You can trust me. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you'd like to be, just lift your hands right now. We're all going to begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. Father, I pray right now that you baptize all that desire this experience in their lives with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, by faith, lift your hands and begin to speak in another tongue. Those of you that speak in tongues, go ahead, lift your hands. Kromaiza vereki mara do prea. Kristra papai. O maleveki pramaso. Jera samakure, he levre, oh leve, he leve, time helene. Thank you, Lord. We bless you tonight, Father. We give you glory and honor and all the praise. Thank you, Father. Honestly, I wish we had 10-hour services sometime. But if you can just get one thing and begin to practice it in your life, God has never wanted you to stay in the dark and not know what to do and not know how to win. His Spirit will reveal things to your spirit. One of the ways His Spirit will reveal things to your spirit is by praying specifically in other tongues regarding the thing that you need to know, and focusing your mind. Your mind is set on your spirit. Your mind is looking at your spirit. Praying in other tongues is a means of spiritual illumination that progressively rises up to your understanding, so that you know what to do. You're no longer in the dark. Thank you, Father. Does anyone have anything else tonight? You guys good? Pastor Junior, you have anything? Praise God. Well, I think that's enough, but can you come back next week? I believe the Lord is really, He's really helping us here in Samoa, and even in the world, if you're watching by internet. God wants us to know His voice. And it's not just for us personally. All the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the working of miracles, special faith, the gifts of healing, those just 3, I'll mention those. All of those work by being able to hear His voice specifically in your spirit, which is what we've been talking about. And if we're not developed enough to hear His voice for ourselves, then the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, they're really off the table. How does working of miracles operate? Well, Moses holding his rod out over the Red Sea and splitting it was a working of miracles. Do you see that process? God told him what to do. He was spiritually developed enough to hear that, to know it was God, to believe it, and then to step out and do it. And then the Holy Spirit worked the miracle. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. This is it. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And He's specifically training you here in this place. I believe He's setting us up for miracles, for signs, and for wonders. Well, thank you so much for coming tonight. God bless you. I'm going to hand the service over to Pastor Jenny. She's got a few announcements, and then we'll close with a song.